Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is a portion of the Holy Gospel, verses 45 through 52, which you're encouraged to follow along with there on the back of your bulletin insert. And our theme this morning, be of good cheer. I am. Do not be afraid. Please be seated. Dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, your Lord Jesus is always in control. When the multitudes pressed up against him, when hemorrhaged woman reaches out to touch the tassel of his shawl, when a desperate father hears that his precious little daughter has died, Jesus goes with him and tenderly takes her by the hand and gives her life again. When the greatest of all prophets loses his head, and when his little sheep, who need a shepherd, are gathered together in a desolate place, there he shepherds them, he feeds them. Jesus is always in control. Today is no different. The feast is now ended, the 5,000 plus are filled, and the disciples are still in need of rest. Jesus knows this, for he is in control. He knows what awaits them on the Sea of Galilee, though. Yet he tells them to get into the boat. He bids his 12 to get into the boat. And this, my friends, this is his church getting in to the boat. Dear ones of Christ Jesus, into the boat you go. You are members of a Holy Catholic Universal Church, built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Christ Jesus as your cornerstone. In this boat, saints gather around word and sacrament, and in the midst, here in the midst of us, is Jesus. For where Jesus is, there is his church. There is the ark of your salvation. Into the boat, into this boat you go, so that you may find rest, so that you may find comfort, so that you may find peace, so that you will receive the forgiveness of all your sin. Yet the 12 there on the Sea of Galilee, they find anything but rest. Jesus, always in control though, knows this. As they begin crossing over to the other side, another storm arises. More wind and more waves buffet, threatening to take their very lives. A terrifying storm afflicts these 12. It afflicts his church. With all their might, and with all their strength, and with all their will, and with all their work, it's not enough. It's just not enough to get to the other side. Even so, Jesus is still, that's right, in control. Dearly beloved, as his baptized, forgiven, and rescued children, God has placed you in the boat he calls the church. And with you is Peter and the other 11 and every believer from Adam and Eve to all the saints gathered here, including you this morning. Do not forget, and please do not take for granted, that this of the greatest of earthly blessings, where Jesus brings heaven to earth and is now present with you. You never take it for granted. But always hear his proclamation as you remain in the boat, his proclamation of peace and comfort that he brings from the Father. You must also understand, my dear friend, why Jesus has placed you into his boat. It's not about how you are to save yourself or how you are to do a wonderful work for Jesus or how you are to prove how faithful you are to other people. Oh, no, no, no. Church isn't about you. Church is about what God does for you here in this place. Here, Jesus, as you have heard, here he is present. This is his church, and he is your rock of salvation. Now, what is not heard in our gospel lesson this morning is important for us. For if we take this gospel lesson and look at the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 14, we get a clear and full picture of what happened that night, that one very special night there on the Sea of Galilee. There is one who is in the boat, one man who is in the boat, and he decides to get out of the boat and walk on water. Why did Peter get out of the boat? What was Peter trying to prove? You see, Peter is an object lesson for you and for me. He's an object lesson for your loved ones, for your family members, for your friends, who desire also to get out of the boat and to walk by their own power, by their own work, according to their own terms, attempt to walk to Jesus. Peter's problem, and all those who get out of the boat, you see, they have a problem, and the problem is this. They leave the safety of a boat. They leave the safety of the Holy Christian Church. And that's why Jesus commands you and me to never get out of the boat, to stay in the church, for here, where Jesus is present, this is where you hear. This is where you are given faith. This is where your faith is strengthened. And this is where your good shepherd feeds you. Secondly, as Peter and the other 11 are being nearly swamped by crashing wave and howling wind, they think they see a ghost, something that doesn't exist, something that is a figment of their imagination, and this figment is walking toward them. They are afraid. They are afraid at the deepest, darkest time of night, the fourth hour, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. They are surrounded by a foreboding darkness, crashing waves and howling wind. Fear of this wretched darkness plays a trick on them. And then they hear a sweet voice. They hear a voice of power. They hear a voice of love, a voice that calls out to them, "Be of good cheer. I am. Do not be afraid." Then Peter, and many other Christians, by the way, then they attempt to take control. They hear the word of their Lord, but that's not good enough. You see, they need to attempt to prove their faith. They attempt to stand out by themselves. They attempt to work or to walk, if you will, their way to Jesus. So they get out of the boat. They haven't the faith to get out of the boat. They haven't the foundation to get out of the boat. You see, each and every time, their work and their words will betray them. What does Peter say to Jesus? Do you recall? "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." If it is you? If? Trouble starts there in Peter's heart. Peter doubts that this is the great I am, even though he's heard it. If you are the Son of God, if you are Yahweh, it's no different today, and it's no different than when Satan questioned Jesus, "If you are the Son of God." Just as with Peter, even Christians today doubt Jesus. He couldn't have been born of a virgin. He couldn't have risen from the dead. That's impossible. He couldn't have ascended into heaven. Why, no man can rise up into the clouds and enter heaven. He couldn't. He couldn't have been the Son of God. So what do? They get out of the boat. They get out of the church. Never mind what Jesus tells them to remain in the boat. So they must go out and find for themselves. They attempt to go out into this stormy world and try to find Jesus according to their own terms. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that there was not an initial invitation for Peter or for anyone else to get out of the boat? Peter rose the question. It was Peter's desire for another sign. "Jesus, if you are the Christ, prove to me by having me walk on water." Peter was talking just like the Pharisees, making demands of Jesus according to his own desires. So Jesus does what Jesus does. Since he's in control, he bids Peter, "All right, Peter, do what you must. If you insist, get out of the boat and come walk to me." Well, it goes swimmingly at first, doesn't it? Peter's walking on water. A man walking on water. Why? Because Jesus bids it. He commands that Peter come to him. And as long as Peter is focused on the Messiah, he fulfills what Jesus says. For when God is present, there is perfection. When God is present, what he says will happen. And a man walks on water. But since Peter is a rock, by the way, his name, Cephas, Peter, means rock. Since Peter is a rock, and he looks about and sees the crashing waves and feels the howling wind, what does he do? He takes his eyes off Jesus. He focuses on other things. And when a rock is on water, that's right, it sinks all the way to the bottom. Peter loses faith in Jesus. He mistrusts his Savior. He takes his eyes off just for a moment, and that's all it takes. Satan grasps him and begins to pull him down. Yet Jesus is there. Jesus is present, and he reaches out, and what does Jesus do? He saves Peter. He saves Peter from his own enthusiasm. He saves Peter for being something that he was never meant to be. He saves you from what you were never meant to be. He saves you from being a rock. How does Jesus save Peter? Yes, he stretches out his hands. How has Jesus saved you and these children that are here present this morning and me? He stretches out his arms here at the cross. He lifts Peter out of this sea of unbelief. And what does he do with Peter? Jesus places him back into the boat. And in the boat together, the disciples worship the Son of God. They make it safely. They make it safely to the other side. But my dear friends, like Peter, there are times when we think that we can get out of the boat. We think that we need more proof. We think we have to work or walk our way to Jesus. It's not enough to be in the boat to worship the one who is here present to serve us. It's not enough to be here receiving his gifts. It's not enough to hear that he is the great I Am, who has already walked the stormy seas of this world and defeated sin, death, and the devil for you, and all of you. That's not enough, is it? I have to get out of the boat. I have to prove to others and to myself that I can do it all by myself. I can walk to the other side. Thousands and thousands of people, they want to get out of the boat of the church and they want to walk towards Jesus, thinking that they can walk right into heaven. And Jesus allows them to do so, as he did with Peter. Why does he do this? Why does Jesus let us rocks attempt to get out of the boat and walk on the water? He knows that we will certainly sink. Yet when we, those sinking rocks, finally realize that we cannot walk on water, that we cannot save ourselves, that we cannot walk into heaven, Jesus reaches out his hand. He sends his Holy Spirit, who catches them, who catches us. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He brings us back to the boat. And here in the boat once again, we worship, we rejoice that there truly is a Christ, one who has walked on the water, the one who is the Son of the living God, the one who is merciful, and even when you get out of the boat, one who is forgiving. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. That's what you confess as you confess the third article of the creed. Do you believe it? If you believe it, then why do you get out of the boat? Oh, I know, dear friends. I know that you know someone who is out there right now attempting to walk to Jesus. They have gotten out of the boat. You have them in your family. I have them in my family. They are out there walking all by themselves. There's this rock that is an easy prey for the evil one. And when he sends the tempest, when he sends the crashing waves against them, oh, they will succumb and they will sink in the gravity of sin. They will sink fast, just like the rock that they are. Yet the Holy Spirit will call them. And if they listen, if they truly hear, he will rescue them by their baptism and he will bring them back into the boat, the church. Yet there are those who will not listen. They think they can do this all by themselves. Yet on the great last day, that rock will be judged because that rock did not listen. That rock tried to walk on water, and that rock is not God. And therefore, since that rock is not God, and God does not know this rock, that rock will remain where it is. Where it is in the deepest depths of hell. But you, my dear loved ones, you remain in the boat. Remain in the boat because you know you don't have to walk on water. You know that as soon as you get out of the boat, yes, you will sink. You know that you don't have to walk on water, for he's already done it for you. He is the one. He is the one here who keeps you safe in the boat. He is the one who is here to feed you, to guide you, to proclaim to you sweet words. Be of good cheer. I am. Do not be afraid. Yes, dear ones, be of good cheer. The great I am, Yahweh, is here. His name is Jesus. He is your Messiah. He is your rock of salvation. He is the one who is here to speak to you, to serve you, body and blood, for the forgiveness of all your sins and for the strengthening of your faith. He is the one who has just spoken to you, and you heard it with your own ears. And in that hearing, you have faith. You have faith, And when he speaks, your soul is satisfied. Your soul is satisfied. For what he proclaims to you are these sweet words that all your sin is forgiven. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat with your Savior. You will get to the other side. And on that great last day, you will hear these sweet words. Be of good cheer. I am. No longer must you be afraid. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.